here with Behind the Scenes with Dr. Christy Page and Dr. Amir Barzin. We've been talking with Dr. Aaron Troen, the principal investigator of the Nutrition and Brain Health Laboratory at the Institute of Biochemistry, Food Science, and Nutrition at Hebrew University of Jerusalem, about diet, our mind, and aging well. And here we are at Behind the Scenes, where Dr. Troen said you'd be willing to share a little bit about what you've been studying around mechanisms as it relates to dementia.
Well, as I said in response to our previous questions, our main hypothesis really looks at the implication of vascular risk in brain aging based on the association of all these risk factors for vascular disease, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, high homocysteine, and the like, with increased risk of dementia. Now, we know a little bit about large vessel disease in the brain, strokes, small vessel disease, arteriosclerosis, the stiffening of the small arteries in the brain. But what we've begun to find when we try to understand mechanisms, modeling what we see in human populations by taking specific nutritional deficiencies, such as folate deficiency, and causing an animal to become folate deficient, what we find in their brains is actually fascinating. We see that there is a loss of capillary, not the large blood vessels, not the type of disease that is associated with large vessel disease in humans, but actually changes to the blood-brain barrier and the small capillaries that provide sugar, oxygen, and nutrients to the brain. And this reduction in blood vessels correlates very strongly with the animal's performance on memory tests, even though we don't see neurodegeneration. So this may be an early change where the folate deficiency or the nutritional vascular risk factor causes a loss of capillaries and therefore a change in the supply of blood to the brain. And this may translate, therefore, to cognitive deficits. The reason this is so interesting is that in adults, even though we don't grow very many new neurons, the adult brain is very capable of regenerating or regressing small capillaries in response to the brain's metabolic needs. So, for example, we're born with one aorta, two carotid arteries, just as we have two arms and hopefully five fingers on each hand. That structure is fixed in development. But we can grow new muscles and we can change our body structure in certain areas that are plastic. And in a similar way, the capillary bled, the small circulation, microvascular circulation can expand and retract based on the brain's needs. And in aging, we tend to lose capillaries. So it's possible that if we can understand the relationship between folate and the regression of capillaries or the growth of capillaries, we'll not only have a fundamental insight into this process, but we might be able to harness it in order to help preserve brain function into old age.
Wow. That is really exciting. It is often confusing. It's amazing how little we really understand about the brain and its ability to repair itself. And this sounds like there's some promise there.
I think there could be a great deal of promise. One of the reasons that it's been hard to study so far, and we're certainly not the first people to recognize that there's a relationship between the blood supply to the brain and cognitive function, but it's been that there has been a lack of quantitative tools. You need a good ruler to measure the brain capillary. When you look under a microscope, there are all these little squiggles. It kind of looks like someone took a bunch of spaghetti and threw it on the floor, and you have to ask, how long is a piece of string? So that's hard to do. And we're using a technique called unbiased stereology, which requires a rather expensive microscope, computer-driven microscope setup, and then a lot of tedious counting by our students.
Wow. Well,
in order to come up with a number that can give us an estimate, a quantitative estimate, of the density of capillaries and their length, and other types of morphological features. And once I have those numbers, I can correlate them with the cognitive performance of these animals in life.
Wow.
And show that there's a relationship between these anatomical structural changes and behavior.
Well, Dr.
Troen, so that's something we've been able to do, which is relatively new, and allows us to then explore how dietary manipulation then affect this structure, both in terms of its brain vascular anatomy, microvascular anatomy, and cognition.
Well, you are an extraordinary researcher, and we are grateful for the work that you're doing and for the time that you've taken to share that with us. And we're cheering for you and looking forward to the future and what you're discovering. Thank you so much for taking time behind the scenes.
Okay. A pleasure. Thank you very much, Christy. Thank you, Amin.
Thank you.